Good morning. If you're glad to be a Christian, would you say amen? Amen. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you today and speak some hard truths to you. I know you're used to that. You know, that song we just sang, I haven't heard that one. No other gods. I don't know if I even need to do a lesson this morning. You sang it, didn't you? And it's just like you sang that, like you meant it too. And I know you do. But it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's difficult with all the things that we deal with in life and all the things that come our way. And we talked about something critical in class, and that is the idea of, if you're going to defeat this idea of idolatry, and as Eidelman says in his book, it's not an issue of life, it's like the issue of life. The reason things go wrong in my life is because I've allowed other gods to come before him. And it's just unacceptable for him. He doesn't do rivals. We don't serve that sort of God. Second Chronicles has an interesting statement. Second Chronicles 31 and verse 1 says, when all this ended, the Israelites who went out of the towns of Judah smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, and destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh. And after they destroyed them all, the Israelites returned to their towns, to their own properties. I guess the idea for this weekend, or today rather, that I would like to present to you is the idea of us coming together and destroying those idols in our lives. The different temples that present themselves. I haven't been in a real temple before, but I've been in a basement. The basement of this place that we went to in Tanzania, Mike and I went over there to do some mission work, and our last day we went into this kind of gift store, African gift store slash museum. And so we went into the middle level and everything African that you could possibly buy in there. It was incredible, all the stuff they had to offer. And we went for an hour looking through this. And then we went upstairs and saw all the artwork and the different works that had been kind of done by people of the area of Tanzania. And then we noticed signs that said something about the basement. And we asked about that, and he said, oh, yeah, we can turn the lights on for you down there if you want to go down there. I said, well, what's down there? He goes, you'll find out. They turned the lights on. Mike and I went down there. It was a basement about the half the size of this room, full of gods, African gods that had been collected over the centuries. In a dark, cold basement, just sitting there, staring at us. And it just didn't make me feel right to be down there. You know what I'm talking about? To be among idols. False gods is what it amounted to. False gods, wood carvings, stone, metal that people had done in their villages and put in their homes, that this place had collected or been sent these things. And it made me think, we need to go in there and wipe this basement out and clean this up. But it revealed to me that there are idols in this world. And I know you probably don't have any of those in your home, in your basement, in your living room, or do we? I read about a lady that recently went into a latrine at the Olympic State Park in Washington State. She went in there to use the bathroom. She dropped her phone into the latrine. But she was determined to get it out. And so she lifted the lid and she reached as far as she could reach, and she couldn't reach it, so she took her dog leash off of her dog and she used that as, I don't know what she was thinking, she was going to try to lasso the phone down in the cesspool of waste, and that wouldn't work, so she used that leash to tie and to hang on to, and she undid the top of this latrine. True story, she undid the top of this latrine to reach down in there to grab this thing, and the inevitable happened. The whole rigging of the thing gave way, and she went headfirst into this mess. And somehow she digged that phone out of that mess and was able to call 911. Two fire departments showed up and took them hours to get her out of this latrine. She found herself in a mess. Do you not think it's amazing that a little bit of tin and glass and metal and electronic parts could be something that valuable to us? That we would go to that extent to rescue it? 2 Chronicles chapter 31, they smashed the sacred stones and they cut down the Asherah poles and they destroyed all the high places. They destroyed them all. But if we're going to know what those are in our lives, we have to have lessons like this so we can do an idol sweep in our homes, so we can know what the temple of pleasure is all about and the temple of relationships tonight. You'll want to be back for that. Today, I want to give you the temple of pleasure. It has two main idols found in it. Well, really three. I got to be honest with you. I took one out. One is lust. We're going to talk about that. An idol that you deal with, every one of you deal with, an idol of entertainment. We're going to talk about that. The third one was the idol of food. Then I found out we're going to have potluck after this, so I just removed it. Actually, I took it out for time's sake. But here's the idea, my brethren. What do you engage in for satisfaction? When you're looking to relax, have fun, when you're looking for a stress relief, or maybe you're hurt or need comfort, mentally need to get away, where do you go? Where do you go? Do you go to the idol of lust? You know, God created lust. He created us to know our spouse. It was His idea. But we can't let this gift be more important than the giver. Our hypersexual culture is so evident that we're in trouble with this God. Sexual images and videos and commercials and movies and television shows bombarding us and bombarding our children and our children's children. And do you know that enough of anything can desensitize us to numb us to the evils of our sexualized culture? And Satan has a way with this. A way of fooling our society to make us think that we can play with fire and not get burned. And need I talk to you about how our world is controlled by the porn industry? We're dealing every day with the idol of lust. This is an industry that makes more profit than pro basketball, pro football, pro baseball combined. Do you know that the latest stat is that 64% of Christian men, professing Christian men, watch porn at least once a month? We would be crazy to think that this isn't an idol that we are dealing with in real time. I mentioned to you that we have to guard our hearts against idolatry. We have to be very purposeful to know that our hearts are shaped by our thoughts. We have to be careful what we think, because whatever we think about is what we will worship, and whatever we worship, we will become. You just sang that song, No Other Gods. Do we mean it, though? Remember what we talked about in class. We can sing this stuff, and we should. We sing that song, How Can I Keep From Singing? I'll tell you how you can keep from singing His name. Is that I'm mixing my life up and my heart up with some sort of idol. And it doesn't have to be a bunch of idols. It only has to be one. That's all Satan needs, is one idol. And this is a big one that we are dealing with and that you deal with. And yet the idea of intimacy, the idea of sexuality, the idea of the one flesh is what God created. It's a beautiful thing. God is the author of the gift of sexuality. And as a gift, it brings connection. But as a God, it brings loneliness. As a gift, it brings pleasure. But as a God, little g, it leads to emptiness. As a gift, it brings satisfaction, but as a God, it no doubt brings slavery. As a gift, it brings intimacy, but as a God, it brings separation. As a gift, it brings unity, but as a God, it causes divorce. It is a beautiful gift, but is a tyrant of a God. It was Jesus who said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That idea of see there, S-E-E, in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The idea of see there is the idea of experience. We've not always liked that term in the church. But it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, that's the idea of the word. Because those who are pure in heart don't literally see Him, but we experience Him. And the idea is, if our hearts are adulterated with the idol of lust or any other idol that we'll talk about today, there's no way you can sing to Him. It will keep you from singing to Him. It will keep you from seeing Him. It will blind you. This is why He called the Pharisees blind all the time. You blind guides. Because they were hypocritical, because on the outside they were cleaned up. They wore their Sunday best. But on the inside they were like what? Dead men's bones? Like a dish that was cleaned on the outside, but on the inside it's filthy? Because they had made their own religion an idol. They had made the law an idol. And they were trying to keep it to the letter, and they weren't doing a good job at that, but they weren't keeping the spirit of that law. And He called them hypocrites. And so for both of these today, what I want to do is I want to put a little test to us when it comes to the idol of lust, and then second of all, the idol of entertainment, which we'll get to. Just ask a couple of questions for them each. Here are the questions for the idol of lust. How well do I control my thought life? How are you doing on that? Number two, what sites do I visit online when I'm by myself? How's that going? Do I intentionally set up guardrails to not fall in my daily life? Because see, that's the crazy thing about living the Christian life and how powerful Satan is. And of course, God is almighty. Satan isn't almighty, but he obviously is pretty good at what he does, right? He's really good. His schemes, his processes that he uses, the lustful things of life, the boastful pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, he talks about. And he only needs a little bit of you. He only needs a little piece of your heart. He doesn't need a whole lot. He doesn't care if you come to worship like this and dress up in your Sunday best and put on a smile. That's fine with him. As long as he has a little piece of your heart. As long as I'm not putting up guardrails. Oh, I may not be doing anything wrong per se, but are you doing some things right? Are you guarding your heart? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 is what we looked at the last hour. Guard your heart, he says, for from it springs the issues of life. Protect your heart. Be watchful. How well are we doing that with this idol of lust? And second of all, the idol of entertainment. Man, Hollywood, music, got a hold on us. Don't you agree? Fans that are fixated on a celebrity? We have Christians that know every movie they've starred in, every television show they acted in, or the song that they've sung. They can tell us details of an actress or a musician that they can't even tell about their own spouse or their own parents. Many care more about the latest rumor of an actor or the potential for a new hit from an artist than whether or not their neighbor's even an unbeliever or not. Brethren, that should not define us as Christians. And then the gaming, the social media, the videos. I know you've heard it all before, but is it entangled in my heart? I'm not saying doing some of this stuff is wrong. We do it. Our family is engaged in some of this. But the idea is, does it own me? Does it own a piece of my heart? I love the statement that John Piper once said. He said, you know, the greatest uses of Twitter, I guess it's X now, and Facebook will prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. Does Bible study? Is your relationship with God struggling? Quiet time with Him? Are all those things losing out to our entertainment? It's old and new. All of us struggle on some level with it. My wife and I, Stephanie and I, saw a long commercial a while back from the Disney company, pushing their theme parks. Maybe you saw it. It's showing laughing families having the time of their lives at the happiest place on earth. And then it dawned on me how inaccurate the commercial was showing these families. I mean, it was really bad. They were all holding hands, dancing around, riding rides, laughing, and none of them had a device in their hand. Right? It's everywhere you go. It's almost as if that thing has trained our hearts and our ears to listen for the next chime, the next ding, the vibration. It's almost like, it's almost as if we walk away from it for just a couple of hours, we start getting the shakes. Kind of like what I do when I haven't had a Dr. Pepper for the day, right? It's almost like that. What are we doing? I think about going into that basement with my daughter, and I think, what would our basement look like? What would the idols look like if you had that basement? I bet it'd have that device in it. I see it all the time. Just saw it yesterday. Sitting in a restaurant. A family. The kids are poking at their food, eating a little bit, playing around. And the mom and dad, the whole time, on their phone. With their heads bowed. Almost as if they were worshiping it. Oh, man. Then there's other forms of entertainment, sports and concerts, time that we spend, vast amount of time engaging in these things. Some of that, I don't believe it's wrong at all. I'm just wondering, are we selling our soul to it? Are we selling our hearts to it? What's the end game of all the time that we're putting into fixating on sports or live music or whatever it may be? I mean, what actual benefits are there? What spiritual benefits? Are we asking the right questions? I know that we as Christians, we may not be doing something directly opposed to His will, but are we giving our affection and our time to things that don't help the end game? I want you to think with me. If you're one of those who's in a small church Bible study, Bible class, speaking about spiritual matters, and you won't say a word in that class or that discussion. You won't talk about anything with your own spiritual family, but you'll get in a group of people that you don't even really know and start defending your favorite team, your favorite player, your favorite musician. You might be attending church at the temple of pleasure. Eidelman in his book says, you know, I'm not anti-entertainment. I'm just wondering if we've gone from watching it to worshiping it. You know, in some foreign countries, you will enter a home, and right there in the living room, there'll be a carved idol sitting in the center or the back of the room. Any of you been in a home like that? All the chairs face it. As if this is a place we gather every day, and it is. And we shake our heads in disgust. Man, how could people be so crazy? Habakkuk even talks about these idols that they're mute. Like they don't speak. Of course they don't. Someone had to create that. They have no good wisdom to them. Of course they don't. And we shake our heads until we remove our own spiritual blinders to see that we have homes full of idols. Flat screen televisions and gaming centers and theater rooms, decked out rooms with our sports colors and hunting trophies and framed memorabilia and collections of all kinds of stuff, only to realize, kind of like what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he talks about, I've had everything. I've had servants. I've had slaves. I've had parks and fountains and buildings and all of this labor, all of this stuff and all these people. And I finally found out in the search of all of this stuff, the Hebrew word is habel, emptiness, vain. It's like chasing after the wind. It's never, ever satisfying. Y'all may have a little bit of wind here, but I'm from Texas. I actually grew up in Oklahoma. 25-mile-an-hour wind is a breeze. Like, that's a daily breeze for us. The wind is blowing all the time out there. Can you imagine going out there chasing after that? And Solomon goes, that's what all of this stuff is. It's emptiness. It never, ever fulfills. And so we think about the test to see if we're worshiping at the idol of entertainment. So let's ask these questions, my brothers and sisters. I hope you can see that. What forms of entertainment, number one, do I display the most excitement and passion for? That might be an idol in your life. Number two, if I were lost and ended up on an island somewhere, what forms of entertainment would I miss the most? Number three, am I pleased with how many hours a day I spend indulging in entertaining things? And boy, number four, do I think Jesus is proud of how much time I spend indulging in those things versus spiritual disciplines and work in the kingdom? I want to end this morning with this, Psalm chapter 16, if you'll turn over there with me, please. Psalm chapter 16. And I want to look at verses 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." And I said to the Lord, remember now, the Shema, we talked about it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The Lord thy God, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you, the psalmist says. Verse 3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Verse 4, the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, my cup, and you support my lot. The NIV for verse 4 says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. Their sorrows, the Bible says, will multiply. How can I keep from singing your praise? Wait, what was the term? I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. You know how you improve your prayer life? Your worship? Your time with God? You know how you improve your daily life? It actually comes down to this idolatry thing. Going through my house, going through my basement, going through my heart, and destroying them all. And when I do that, it makes my heart want to sing. It makes me want to live for you, not just on Sunday, not just a glorious day like this, but every day of my life. To live for you. Well, there's a psalm we just read. I want to challenge you as we leave and enjoy our meal together, something that God's provided for us. Is there an idol in your life that needs to be torn down so that God can reign? Because it's highly likely the reason some of us have truly been struggling in this life and struggling with our prayer life and not truly seeing God is that my heart isn't pure. I've let other things come in and take his place. What about you today? As we stand.